champagne, barefoot, playing in the pool. At sunset, we've fallen in love, tripping on each other, breaking all the rules. Ciabatta, warm bread, bacon in the oven. Chocolate, yeah, we're licking our lips. At nightfall, staring in the darkness, looking for starships, acting like kids.
I just want to keep listening to that song. It's so beautiful. Let me go ahead and do my blowing kisses theme. Thanks to anyone joining for the first week. This is Ink and Worm, and we talk about reading and writing and books and everything in between. And I'm your host, Swan, and I'm so happy to be here. When I was in college, my second house, I walked in and this woman was just like a presence, a force to be reckoned with. She would sit on the counter and sing jazz, and she would throw people kisses. So blowing kisses is like nice. She would like toss it in the air and hit it with an invisible bat, or load it in a grenade launcher or like a bazooka launcher and just like launch you with kisses. So there's so many ways to blow kisses, and I'm blowing kisses to you now from the basement of the Velo Bike Shop in Bushwick, Brooklyn, where I'm here with two amazing people I'm so excited to introduce. I have Ellie, and you go by Ellie or Eileen?
My name's Eileen, but I go by Ellie.
Yes, perfect. She is a Brooklyn-based vibe rock recording artist, writer, and music therapist. Currently recording your first EP with...
I pretty much finished it.
Finished so that. That was from your website, so I didn't know if it was dated.
A little dated. It's okay. We're on to some really cool things for early next year.
And now we know. And speaking of, your first book is coming out, and you just saw it for the first time a couple days ago.
I got it in hand. It's really exciting.
That is so exciting. I am excited to talk about it.
Yeah, I just realized I picked it up and held it up, but I guess nobody else can see that.
we'll include pictures. We'll include pictures, definitely.
Yeah.
So her first book, Hummingbird, a lyric book, is going to be available this month in December, distributed by Lit Riot Press. Great Christmas present, or, you know, New Year's present, or Happy January. You know, you just go out there and find it. With association or Associated Music Recordings and merchandise on the timeline for early release in 2016. She's been, her music, as you've heard, is dreamy, suggestive, with iconic archetypal explorations. Work is memory and fantasy driven, with underlying themes of nature, love, emotions, togetherness, loss, and the experience of time. I love someone described your sound as Mazzy?
Yeah, Mazzy Star.
Mazzy Star combined with the Juno soundtrack. And when I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. And my other guest, thanks for being patient. And I will ask for more patience because you are doing a lot. And
yes. Yes, we are.
This is Ben. And Ben, Ben Taylor, Benjamin Taylor.
Ben is fine. You can call me Benjamin. I'm flexible.
you respond to it all. Photographer is how I was introduced to you.
Yeah, I mean, I publisher, I suppose, by trade. Photographer is more just a an activity at this point. But yes, photographer, publisher, creative guy.
Nice. And... let's see. You co-founded Garn Press, whose mission, and I'm going to read this from what you sent me because I really like the wording, although I did take a couple things out.
That's fine.
Is to imagine the future so we can reimagine the present. Asking the urgent question, what will life be like on Earth in 50 years from now? And this question is followed by, what actionable knowledge do we need to change the future now? The quest is to seek out great thinkers of the 20th century, some of whom have had their research discredited, discounted, or outright banned, and to republish or publish their writings. It's not enough to garner thinking of great scholars of the past, however. They also search for original thinkers of the 21st century, writers of conscience who embrace social media and technological revolution to create remarkable books that inspire people to act.
We like that.
It's really nice. From that, you had a second publishing company emerge recently. Founder and owner Ben is of Lit Riot Press, an independent publishing company in its inaugural year, focusing on diverse, eclectic, and outstanding books born out of Garn Press, fostering collaborative partnerships and partnerships with its authors, and features fiction, nonfiction, poetry, photography, art, zines, basically all the mediums. And you have a huge list of the advocacy-based. Pretty much any book you publish has like a reason to be there. It's advocating for some platform.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair statement to make. Both presses are advocacy-based press, I think, at the forefront of everything that we do. The authors that we partner with, the types of books that we're willing to publish. I would say that Lit Riot Press is more of a, there's more of a creative extension from that work. And if I had to qualify the difference between the two presses, I would say that Garn Press is more academically centric. We work with authors that are have deep ties to U.S. and international university systems. But at its heart, it's an advocacy-based press. Garn Press, we do works that focus on education policy, public policy, climate change, and certainly under the broad umbrella, if you will, human rights. And Lit Riot Press, I think, is certainly an extension of that, although I think creatively we have a lot more flexibility in terms of the types of artists that we partner with, the types of books that we publish. But at its heart, both presses are deeply connected to issues of human rights. And then within that, we have a laundry list at this point of various topicals that we're willing to write on.
And we could go down the list. Let's just say real fast, and for the listeners, I would love for you to say hello. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and just like let me know, you know, if any of these stand out to you, if you're listening, what you think of the show, what you like, what you hate. Doesn't mean I'm going to change anything, but so quick list. We're talking about Lit Riot Press and fictional nonfiction cover somehow links into the following: contemporary civil disobedience, human sexuality, sexual expression, sex positivity, body positivity, sexual identity, sex in the media, sexual expression, social and economic inequality, classism, LGBT rights, gender and pay equality, women's health rights, media portrayal of women in the society, climate change, state-sanctioned violence, the militarization of police and police reform, Black Lives Matter movement, environmental racism, felony disenfranchisement, prison reform, peace and anti-violence movements, gentrification, gun control, corruption, and the undue influence of corporations on the government. And I'm laughing as I'm reading this because it's so extensive. But
I would too.
As you're like, that's like, yeah, can we change the world?
Yeah, well, it does definitely sound
like we're working
like that.
On it.
You know, it's funny. We have... You know, we do different kinds of deals with folks, and some of the work that we do is falls under development, in that if we find an interesting person who's doing interesting things and somehow their work can link back to or connect to these topicals, then it's something that's worth pursuing with that particular person. And so, you know, it's funny. I used to actually go through this list quite extensively with people during those initial conversations, and I quickly figured out that maybe I should truncate it a little bit and just focus on the things that were more specific to their work or the literature that they were producing or the art that they were producing and focus it in a little bit more. But it is an internal, at this point, driver for I think, certainly for Lit Riot Press. I think Garn Press is the list is a bit shorter. There are certain areas that we were not really focused on, but for Lit Riot Press, I think it's a good guider in terms of the work that we do. I always come back to the baseball analogy that if it's not focused on these issue topics, then it's baseball, and we don't publish baseball books. We really want to make sure that we're connecting back to these themes.
Nice. And if you have ever met Ben and you have a conversation with him, he'll probably at some point in the conversation be like, oh, that'd make a really cool book.
God, I do. I don't know, to a fault. Sometimes I feel like I think that way almost too obsessively. You know, some people actually aren't interested in making a book. And I wake up every day and I think everyone should make a book at least once in their life, make something that can live in perpetuity and be out there on the bookshelves or available online. And I think everyone, and I honestly believe this, I think everyone is a writer, and some people need some love and support and a really good editor and a decent publisher. I hope that we're that. To get behind
you
them.
You are.
To
yeah. You definitely are. I have to speak up at that point.
Yeah, let's talk about the collaboration. Right, what has your experience been?
Yeah. Well, I've known Ben for a really long time. So having that background of trust and human connection, I know the human side of Ben. So to meet this publisher side of him has been such a treat for me. Because everything he does, he's so passionate about, and the team is just getting stronger and stronger and growing every day, which doesn't surprise me at all, because there's a really good captain behind the wheel. He's doing a great job.
Thank you.
I'm really excited now because I think the same thing now when I'm having conversations with people. I'm like, oh my God, did you ever think to write a book? Because I know this guy and I know this company. And
and you can.
Yes, it's possible. It's such an amazing thing to be able to create something and put it out there and see it made in a pretty short amount of time. I mean, everything is done to a pretty strict calendar, but I say strict, but everything's very flexible, very human. That human element is there. But it's very possible to stay organized, organize your thoughts, even if you've never done it before. Dig deep and see what it is you have to say, what motivates you and inspires you, what you're passionate about. Eventually, it does fall under one of those, that long laundry list of categories, because it's like you said, like, how can we change the world? We're human. We're all here together for a short time.
Put a book out.
Yeah.
Put a book out. So let me interject. I recently came back from a trip. So this is a live show. Last week was pre-recorded because I was in Paris because my best friend Hannah was part of the climate change conferences happening there. And she's working with youth leadership development in correlation with climate change. Like, get our youth involved in their governments. Like, any kid that was there, young adult that was there was a part of a government organization from their country, and the countries are from all over the world. So it's like she's doing stuff, and
that's fantastic.
Watch that.
Wow.
It's so great. I just wanted to put in that experience because it felt appropriate.
No, it certainly is. We have actually a few books that we're doing on climate change at Garden Press, and we did lead up programming to COP11 and the Paris Summit.
Yeah.
Or have been doing some programming on site for the last 6 weeks, I think. And so it's been it's certainly one of the primary focus areas of Garden Press. And certainly climate change as it relates to the impact that it has on children and families. And that's really where Garden's focus is in terms of the literature that we're publishing currently.
So let's visit a thread. How does climate change affect the...
Well, I mean, climate change certainly, like, a displacement of communities, first and foremost. I think there's the obvious impact that rising sea levels have, storms. But I think, you know, climate change, like, extends in places that I don't think the media necessarily covers. Conflict, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Water.
Conflict as it relates to resource availability, whether that's the very land that you're planting crops on, the shortened seasons, or the impact that, you know, these more catastrophic events, floodings, major storms have on communities, certainly leads to, I'm kind of at a loss for words, the impact that it has on communities and villages, and then in a subset, certainly, of families and family dynamic and the relationships between, climate change and children.
Right, as the climate... as those effects take place, it does affect business and economy. And when business is affected within a family, everybody is affected by that.
Yeah. Well, and when I was talking to Hannah, she said people need to watch the film This Changes Everything. Have you seen
or heard
of that?
I have not seen that.
No.
It's based on the book, which was heavy, but like it's climate change can be, well, it is serious business, you know, and it's happening. But bringing this back to us, like when I think about this, I think about the tiny things. I think about conversations I have with people and issues arise and they're like, well, I'm not the problem. It's these major corporations. And part of me is like, then I don't think we're friends. Because you need to make small conscious choices.
Agreed.
To make that change. And so some ideas, speaking of climate change and moving into like energy, because that's what's changing our climate is the process of producing energy. So walk to work if you can. Take shorter showers or co-shower with roommates and special friends.
And special friends.
You know, you're saving the planet by co-showering.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. I don't have roommates.
Take a look at your diet, the things you're eating and how that's affecting the planet. You know, local cannot be emphasized enough. Find your local growers and be their friends. They'll give you good food that's better for you and better for the planet. And turn lights off, you know. So when I was traveling a couple years ago, I came back and I had stopped using paper towels at some point because it just became like, why would I do that? The air can dry my hands. And found out that one of my friends had done the exact same thing. And I'm like, you know, I'm not saving the planet, but I'm not using paper towels as often as I could. That's something small. So my challenge to my listeners.
Well, the small things add up too, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, if everyone went to the grocery store with a canvas bag instead of the plastic bags they take home,
yeah.
It makes a difference.
Yeah. So I like to issue challenge to my listeners. So the challenge for this is maybe spend some time writing about what's like a core issue for you. And there's a huge list. You can, you know, listen to the rebroadcast. And find something small that you can do that's going to affect that.
Something that I found here in the city ever since I moved back in 2012 was CSAs, you know, community-sourced agriculture.
Yeah.
And to see that in the heart of Brooklyn got me really excited.
Yeah, and not only, like, food, but people.
Yeah.
Like, you start to see the same people, and if you're looking for community, that's a great way to start to find one.
Cool.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on climate change? It's a heavy topic.
Read literature.
Go on and on.
Go, you know, I think it's critical that one thing that we all can do is spend more time beyond just the network, television news, the entertainment, which is what it is.
Yeah.
Beyond just the obvious places that people go for their news consumption, and actually just dig a little deeper. Go click on that one extra link. Go open that one extra report from the experts, from the scientists.
Google Scholar.
Absolutely. it's sometimes like these reports are so laborious. They're so hard to get through it. Sometimes I have a trouble myself, and I want this quick summary. But sometimes a more informed populace actually leads to better policy. And I think if I had one wish is that we would all just dig a little bit deeper, myself included, because it's so easy to get distracted and to go for the entertainment value. But sometimes, like digging a little bit deeper, you find that you have all these interests that are new and interesting. And in that, specific to climate change, I think that there are places that we can all go for that discovery and exploration aspect that makes us all human.
Yeah. So, LACO.
Mm-hmm. You said it right. Good job.
Thank you. That song mesmerized me. Is there a story behind it?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, there's an awesome story. LACO is a Hawaiian word, and it means, because Hawaiian words are translated into phrases and concepts. They're not just word for word. But the LACO word means the way something is put together. It's sort of a weaving technique that the ancestors were said to use on the island of Hawaii, which is where I was when I got the inspiration for that song. So it's about the way friendship, a certain couple of friendships were made or woven or put together. And I didn't know that that was the name of the song until later. So what I'm saying is I named it Laco before I knew what Laco meant.
Yeah.
But the song is about what Laco means.
Yeah.
So that
so
was
great.
A cool experience. I named it Laco because when I was staying in Hawaii, I stayed at a house called the Laco House.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a carefree couple of weeks. People I'd been doing business with, we came to a culmination of events in our business together, and we decided to go to Hawaii to sort of celebrate. And the three of us explored the volcano, and you could hear some of the lyrics about sipping on champagne, celebrating uh-huh. this momentous occasion, and really realizing that we had become such close, good friends throughout the course of this business endeavor, and now we were here in this magical place. Just as friends, celebrating. And that's what the song is about.
It's so beautiful.
Thank you.
Is that in your book anywhere?
Yeah, it's in the book somewhere. You know, it's hard to believe that there's about 78, maybe 79 songs in here.
Yeah.
It's pretty extraordinary for me to look back at and as I was creating this book, digging up songs over the past, you know, however many years. And Laco's a really recent song, so that obviously made the book. But then there are so many other songs in here, and I'm really excited that I can take this and hold it in my hand and flip through the pages, and I see years worth of music, you know,
yeah.
memories and music.
Has music always been there for you? Like, were
yes.
you a songwriter as soon as you could write?
Yes, as soon as I could speak. Absolutely. I've always been a musician, singer. I tell the story sometimes of, like, this is kind of sad, but writing a funeral song for a family pet that
Aww.
Had died and making my brother sing it with me when we were little kids.
That's great.
That's one of the earliest songs I remember writing. And as I grew up, yeah, I sang and performed and did all the singing and dancing as a child, as a teenager. And I started doing professional recording groups around the age of 14,
mm-hmm.
Demoing songs, flying up and back and forth from New York City back to Florida, where I'm from. And that turned into... I worked at MTV, so I got into the industry kind of that
yeah.
way, and that's how I met Ben.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we worked together.
Yep.
I didn't
MTV
know that.
Digital.
Yeah, no, yeah. It was like a seven years of my life pushing pop culture to young, impressionable kids.
And I'm with you on that.
You
that
did a good job.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, is that yeah, how fortunate or unfortunate?
I think we both have that stance.
I mean, my experiences were really wonderful there. I learned a lot about business, and certainly I have zero regrets, but, you know.
It shaped you.
Well, I think it made me, it informed the process as it relates to the things that I'm doing today. And I think I have a better balance in life in terms of the kinds of things we're promoting and producing for people to consume more than the pop culture stuff that was so big there.
Yeah.
Garn Press and Lit Riot Press are the new MTV.
Yeah. No, that's a great way.
Nobody sue me.
Way.
I don't have any money. Just kidding.
I'm right there at the same exact front. That is what inspired me to go into music therapy.
Yeah.
It was the same train of thought of, like, realizing what I was pushing out there to the impressionable youth of our world, mm-hmm. You know, way beyond United States, and understanding the power of music and the power of influence and content in our world today with reaching people digitally and Twitter and all of the social media things. And I realized there's something else I want to use this power for. And that's when I went back to school and I studied music therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. The very similar path for me. I left VH1. When the reality television programming was so big with Flavor of Love and mm-hmm. I Love New York and I Love Money and all those I Love shows. And I went to NYU Wagner for, you know, School for Public Service.
Mm-hmm.
And quite literally, I, you know, did a career stop and changed course. And then through my course study, we had the opportunity to publish a couple books, to do it the self-publishing way, and that mm-hmm. grew and expanded into something that I think, honestly, is an extension of the work that I did at Wagner. But, you know, that was also the impetus for my entry into graduate school at my later stage in life, I suppose.
Yeah.
was wanting to do something, take what I'd learned there, but do something a bit different, less commercial.
I love it. Quick break. You're listening to Ink and Worm. I'm your host, Swan. Also, we have a scavenger hunt happening right now, and you could win a bike. So for you who have or have not been participating, there's let's see. Your clues are found at local businesses, and my clue to give you is Stateside Coffee. So if you want to, get a chance to win a Mozzie single seat bike from the bike shop upstairs, or there's runners up, and then pretty much you can't go wrong, right? You'll get to visit a local business. Go ahead and check out Stateside Coffee. And we're broadcasting live from the basement of the Velo Bike Shop. Thanks for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. Also, events happening this week. Tonight, there is a writing workshop from Gotham Writers at 6 at McNally Jackson Books. Housing Works is having their monthly sale. Today is the last day, so Christmas shoppers, check that out. Housing Works is a great business if you're not familiar with them. Look at what they're doing to try and change the world. On the 8th at 7, Book Court is hosting Eugene Vodolazkin and Lisa Hayden. On the 8th at 7 p.m., Housing Works is doing a moth reading. On the 9th at Book Court in Park Slope, Michael Cunningham is doing a reading for his book, The Wild Swan. A Wild Swan, which I might go to because, the name. And then on the 9th at Book Court is Ask Roulette, a fun kind of panel, as I understand. Greenlight Books is having holiday stories and sing-along on the 10th at 4 p.m. Brooklyn Writers Space is at 7 p.m. at Book Court on the 11th. Couple more Christmassy things. Saturday at Book Court is Oscar and the Eight Blessings, more kid-geared. That's at 11 a.m. Housing Works is having What the Dickens, with readings from Charles Dickens, Christmas Carol, at 1 p.m. And then the Brooklyn Public Library on December 12th at 1 p.m. is hosting the Star Wars Experiment. It's more family-based, so if you have a family, you could check that out. And lastly, but not leastly, there's another Gotham writing workshop that's free at Book Court on December 12th at 2 p.m. So that's the next week. There's so much going on all the time in Brooklyn and in Manhattan, and it's hard to go to things because I just get overwhelmed. But it's exciting to have so many options. Even on one night, you have to choose between three different major writers that you've followed, and you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. It's a good place to be from, for sure. And segue into Hummingbird. Let's talk about your process. I have an excerpt, but I think it might be beautiful to have you read if you're interested, okay. Or I can read too. You can
awesome.
You can throw it back to me.
what did you plan on reading?
You sent me We Play Music to Memorialize.
Yeah.
Do you want to read that?
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, yeah. I love it. I love it.
I want you to read it if you're okay with it.
Awesome. We play music to memorialize, to create meaning, and to process the events in our lives. We write to decipher what matters and what needs to be let go. We sing because we are happy or sad, free or chained, innocent or guilty, anything, everything. We sing and we write songs and we play music because sometimes that feels better than crying or better than a million hugs or drugs or cups of coffee or whiskey. And we teach each other how our songs go and we learn each other's songs so that we can play together. Music is said to be one of the universal forms of communication and expression. Music is like love and art. It touches the untouchable, it refreshes the human heart, and stirs within us what I call a nameless wind, a sound our souls can hear. It's spiritual, sensual, and songs pass through us in waves like water, air, fire, and the earth. Songs soak into us and change us from the inside. They make us feel things, and whether we feel like bleeding or flying, the music goes on.
That's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
Is there any question why we would publish the book?
Hummingbird. Thank you. It's coming out this month. Do we have a day yet?
I would say this coming Friday,
and available
Available online, or it'll be available on Amazon as an early release, and then expanded release, paperback, hardcover. We work with a lot of retailers, but the obvious ones are Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
They're the big guys.
And then you can find it probably within a few weeks after the new year through IndieBound. You can place an order for your local bookstore to purchase
that.
It. Yes, we will. we've got a great, it's one of the things for the Indie, we've got a great distribution system. So we can do those wholesale orders for the local bookstores, and that is the plan, and to get the book on the shelves as well. Of course, we'll be doing ebooks through Apple, Kobo, Amazon, Barnes & Noble for all platforms sometime in January, February. But we want the print book to breathe a little bit, the hardcover and the print. But early release this coming
it's
Friday.
It's a soft launch this week. I don't know the date Friday because we have held off from naming
it's
a
like
date for release.
It'll be available in Amazon on the 11th. As an early release, we do
soft launch.
We do work with Amazon, but we have many other retailers. And then, for us, I think where our message next year will be: go to your local bookstore, ask them to place an order,
get it on the shelves.
Support your local bookstore. Certainly in Greenpoint, where our home office is, it's Word Bookstore. We love that place, and then So there are many others, of course, not to be exclusionary, but the local bookstore is always the place to go.
You just find your own, and then it's like your bookstore, and you can own it.
It's
part of you.
Yeah.
Do you have any signings or parties?
All of that's going to be happening next year. That's why I say this is the soft launch. I wanted something available in time for the holidays, and it was really meaningful for me to get something out before the new year. Yeah. So then let the holidays blow over, and then next month, just after my birthday in January, we'll start that fun stuff.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
If you want to follow me or Ellie on social media, I'll put up links. Ink and Worm, all lowercase, and I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'm trying to figure out social media. So if you have tips, you can send those to me too, like don't do this or do this. And then your information, people interested in following this process, this work, what's your...
My website is going to be an awesome resource to go to, kind of my little clubhouse home base where I'm going to hang out and put stuff. But I also have all the stuff, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and that's Ellie Espy. No E's at the end, just Ellie Espy, all lowercase, everything.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Why Hummingbird?
Hummingbird, I mean, it's a really magical creature. If you do any sort of reading on hummingbird, you realize that they're such an exceptional bird in the animal kingdom. Their wings flap in a figure eight, and they can hover up, down, left, right, forward, backwards, and no other bird can do that. So they're really extraordinary, not to mention really beautiful. And they also create sound. A lot of birds have their bird songs, but because of how fast the wings flap, they create this humming sound. The birds have come to me over the years, my sister's wedding, which was really beautiful, and my brother, who's a photographer, caught a beautiful picture of one. So within my family, it's been kind of a beautiful bird.
Yeah.
So it just kind of made sense. I like to hum and sing all the time. I used to get in trouble for it for school. Stop humming. I didn't know I was humming. I didn't even realize I was humming. So that's kind of my spirit animal, I guess, one of them.
So it sounds very appropriate. And let's talk about writing. You've written.
Published? Have I published?
I've not published, but I write a lot.
I was a writing major 20 years ago at Emerson College in Boston. I wrote at that point, and I think, as we're young in our 20s, I think everyone has this need to express themselves somehow through art or through literature or through photography or through something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wrote obsessively for years. So, I mean, am I a writer? Not by profession or trade. Is it something that sort of lives in me? I suppose, absolutely. I think, you know, for Hummingbird and for some of the other books that we're publishing, I think that for me, the gift back to me is kind of a revisiting of, like, my own interest in writing and that love and passion I have for the written word. And the impact that it can have on people. And so certainly that this lyric book has done that. I was certainly surprised that I think I said to Eileen how prolific she was. And I reached a point, I think this was last week, and I spent a lot of time working with her work that I just didn't realize that, you know, 70 songs for a singer, songwriter, musician is actually
substantial.
Really quite remarkable and something to certainly be proud of in and to itself without the book. I think that, you know, and it certainly illustrates, like, you know, a person's need and want to express themselves in various ways. But for me, writing, I think, is... you know, it's funny. I feel more drawn these days to photography than I do with my own writing.
That's your expression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's meditation, I suppose, at this point.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm probably not moving into a professional space with it, but it's just a way and it also complements the work we do at Lit Riot Press, less so than at Garn, but at Lit Riot, we've structured a lot of the development work where there are opportunities for us as a publisher and a business to come in and actually produce content for various people and for various projects, which is something that I think I'll do, you know, from here on in.
Amazing. What about writing? You wrote new songs for this book and you pulled songs that you had written before.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk about that process. Talk about, you mentioned a little bit, but just revisiting these old songs and seeing the massive work that you did have.
Mm-hmm. We're talking probably about 10 years, and it didn't happen that I was writing for 10 years straight. I would go through these little growth spurts, major transitions, relationships, moving, relocating, those types of experiences in my life, and write, you know, an album's worth of songs at that time. So going back and seeing those moments, I definitely revisited and realized how I've used music for myself to cope with things and to process exactly what I said in the intro, to process all of these events and create meaning.
Yeah.
And one other thing I forgot to say about the hummingbird is that they're known for going from flower to flower to flower, and they don't really fly in a straight line. They're always zigzagging, and I realize that I relate to that a lot. I've lived all over the country in several different time zones, always pursuing something like the flight of the hummingbird, and these songs are like touchdown points from those different places and times and people. And it's really, really special, Swan and Ben, to be able to have this in my hand.
To have all these flowers.
To have all these flowers, exactly.
And the cover is beautiful. Did you have a part in designing that?
Oh, yes. We.
That's all her.
That's all you. Fantastic. The artist comes out.
I think between the two of us, you know, giving him my ideas and us both experimenting, implementing these ideas for covers, we might have come up with 40 different designs.
Yeah.
I think this was one of my original ideas, and that's often what happens. You go back to that first seedling, and you're like, actually, that was the one.
I'm learning more about trusting that process, and it's true. So people, like, part of why I wanted to do this show is help other writers just get started. Because
that's great.
You exactly. do. You start to find how something, like, grows and evolves, and yet it's just like still there and it's still you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to create a book of songs, and there's a reason for that. Even though I've been writing for so long, we have this whole idea of, oh, it's not quite what I want it to be. I have this other idea that might be better. And Ben has really taught me, with this opportunity to work with Lit Riot Press, to start somewhere and go with that. And you can do that other stuff too.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily have to wait. Nothing has to wait. You just hit the ground running.
Was it you that it started with one book and then turned into three?
Yeah.
This is the collaborative.
That's happened
piece.
A few times. Yeah, more than a few times.
So the
hers was the first. Like hers was the first for sure.
And I think even more three solid, and then some other ideas on the side, and those are coming out all next year. Because as you go through your work, you realize, oh well, this could be a book in and of itself.
Yeah.
Okay. So it will be.
You start to see the world in terms of potential books.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'll put on my publisher hat. We have. She has. We have. It's more her.
A partnership?
Yeah. Well, there is a poetry book next year. Mm-hmm. It all started with a mixed medium book. That was the initial idea, and that's what we went with as a collection of lyrics, poems, these inspirational one-liners,
photos,
photography, and art, and kind of just to put all that together.
Going through old journals and seeing a really cool page had a bunch of doodling and saying, oh, that should be a page in a book.
Yeah.
So we had that.
We talked about journals. Yeah. I think, and this is a thought I've been having recently because I think I've mentioned on the show, maybe not. I have a lot of journals. Mm-hmm. And I'm exploring the process of what's the difference between a journal and like a notebook or like a sketchbook and a brainstorming book. Because I'm going through all of my journals, actually. I'm like, why am I carrying around two boxes of journals everywhere I go? These are a lot. What's in here? And so I'm looking and I'm seeing what there is to pull out, and I'm seeing what are scripts, and I'm seeing what was just like teenage angst. And it's
It must be such a fascinating process to be brought back into those moments so vividly. I think that, again, like written word it can do that for the individual.
Yeah, and to see what I left out and to see what I put in and to look back and I think you learn. You're like, oh, I didn't tell this. I just like brushed over this thing that happened that now I'm like, I remember that, but what were the details? Who was there? Where were we? Like, what did we eat? You know, and Margaret Atwood talks about like, talk about your days, because in 20 years, people aren't going to know like the little details that we just like take for granted.
Right. That's absolutely. I have boxes of books and I have moved. I'm a mover for sure that I've been carrying with me for 20 years. Like it's just like I doubt very much I'll ever let them go. Like they're in boxes, so I guess they're hidden, but they're always in the apartment somewhere.
Yeah, that was the same for me, and going through those was part of my process of finding this one book that turned into three. It's the same thing, and I've got things taped in there. I've got things scribbled out, and it's such an exciting process, and I think I would sprawl them all out on the floor in the beginning months of working on this, and then take pictures and show Ben, like, I really want to use this, or, oh my God, look what I found. I even found some unfinished songs that I had just never finished, and I finished writing them specifically for this book, and I was so excited that I got to do that, 4 or 5 years later, writing that second verse to the song.
It's like collaborating with your younger self.
Yeah, totally. That's awesome. That's a great way
to look
at it.
It's an amazing process to be a part of, even from afar, I think, for a publisher to partner with a person. Obviously there's trust building that has to occur and relationship building, and we go back enough years now where that existed already.
Mm-hmm.
But to watch be part of a process, a person's process, as they kind of explore and define what projects they want to work with.
Yeah.
For Lit Riot Press, we do have that kind of flexibility, much less so at Garn. It's much more structured and traditional in that sense, and very rigid, but appropriately so for Garn Press.
For what it is, yeah.
And Lit Riot Press is, I think we've got a lot more flexibility to just let people breathe and explore these things. And what I think what we're finding is people are bringing back really interesting projects that are very close to their heart, and then we somehow work with them in various ways to ground those in sort of there's a real world product at the end of this that is a book that gets distributed and sold, and so we work in various different ways.
Ellie, I heard a lot of people talk about you have to go to the vulnerable place, you have to go to the place that's scary. Is that something that you experienced in writing this?
I have another friend who calls it the place that knows. The place that is real. Absolutely. That's a really cool concept to bring up. You definitely have to bring yourself to the edge. That's another way to frame it. You can call it anything you want, but it is weird and scary and real and surreal all at the same time. And it's really awesome visiting those places and having a vehicle to do so and to come back out of. 'Cause sensitive people can get lost in these places for a long time, for long periods of time. It's cool that you say that, because I hope that this book, I actually invite later on in the intro, if I were to keep reading, you'd hear, I invite the reader to make these songs their own and take them to their own places and attach new meaning to them and make, you know, new melodies and recreate the song so that it makes sense to their story.
Yes.
But I hope that this is a safe place. And that's the music therapist in me saying, here, take this and use it.
Make it yours. I like that a lot. The first week of my show, I mentioned something, and I'm going to mention it again. It's the concept that you should read a book three times. The first time, you just read it. Appreciate the experience. Read it. Second time, respond to it. Do any activities, you know, any suggestions, anything that the book's like asking or suggesting. And then the third, read. You make it yours. You really take it on. And I like that conceptually. I just started rereading books.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that. It becomes more yours in some strange way.
I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
I like to...
You know, it's funny. When I read books, I plow through them. I'm so impatient
at
times.
I'm the same. And I never reread.
and I think, part of that's certainly personality driven. I skew towards type A. And, like, so there's a certain level of impatience in my daily life that extends everywhere.
New York. New Yorker.
New York and books and... to your point, like I as a process, I don't follow that, but it's a really good suggestion, because I think that the second read for me is really where a book would take heart and hold with me.
And especially the books that you loved, you like, it ends and you're like, ah, but you can read it again. Like, never occurred to me, even though I still have the book. I'm like, I can read this again. That's amazing.
It's like listening to your favorite song over and over again.
Right.
Well, the book should never collect us, right?
Right.
Mine do, certainly at times.
I'm not admonishing you in any way. I like to end my shows with a rapid fire. Tim Ferriss does on his show. I do with books. So quick questions, quick answers. You can say, I don't know. Question number one, what book have you not gotten around to reading?
This has nothing to do with saving the world, but
that's okay.
It's a fantasy book. Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
The world's most famous book. I actually tried. I opened it. I was too busy, and I'm too ADD. Okay, that's my short answer.
Ben.
This is embarrassing, but one of our own books at Garn Press, The Black Inked Pearl by Ruth Finnegan. And this is going to sound crazy, but I did the on that particular book, the interior, and in the process of working with books, I certainly read bits and pieces, but I have yet to read that book from cover to cover.
Right. And you published it.
In my defense, I have partners at Garn Press, wonderful people who are really at the heart of the company.
Okay, so it wasn't you. Got it.
No, I mean,
he's
there. But it's just one of these things. You get in these work silos, and I just, you know. But yes, that is at the top of my list.
Rapid fire.
She's so cute. Thanks for holding that boundary.
So sorry.
What book do you remember your parents reading to you?
Le Petit Prince.
Oh, very nice.
Yes,
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh. That works. It's an insight. Do you have any rituals related to your reading or writing?
Rituals?
Like routines, like a certain pen. I have a certain pen I use.
Oh, that's beautiful. Certain pen.
Or just anything. A cup of tea. You can say no.
Yeah, no, I don't. It's wild. It's like a wildflower. It just kind of pops up.
For me, a pen in hand. Whenever I'm reading nonfiction, I have to annotate. I have to write on the book, in the book.
Interesting.
In the book.
Yes, in the book, on the page.
I love that. I'm scared to write in books.
It's
I take copious notes in my computer so I can search my notes, because I'm weird like that.
Yeah, when I try to sit down and write or read, I can't. So for me, I'm that person who in the middle of the night is like, okay, I just got to get up and write this down. That's my answer.
I like it. Is there a book that influenced your transition through puberty? sometimes people have like one book that stand out.
Again. Well, in high school, it was a breakup book that my best friend gave me that said like getting exercising the demons of past relationships. I think I was 15 years old, and my 14-year-old friend gave it to me. And at first, it's because I broke up, you know, with the.
Was it a dramatic book?
It was. It helped me get over my boyfriend as That's a 15-year-old girl.
And, That's a hard one to get over.
And I'll never forget. Yeah, it was my first love, mm-hmm. and I'll never forget that whole experience. So in a way, that was it.
Very nice.
I'm drawing a complete blank. I'll tell you a title. The title that came to my head was A Hero Ain't Nothing But a Sandwich, but I could not. I'm glad this is rapid fire because I can't honestly tell you why. Like, it's just the title that popped into my head.
Now we have it. Uh-huh. We can go look.
Great book.
How do you find your books that you read? It sounds like you're more spontaneous.
I'm super spontaneous and friends and at the airport. I often buy books at the airport to read on the flight, and I am never disappointed by those choices. It's pretty amazing. Like, I'll read them in a matter of hours or maybe a couple days. Airport.
Airport is a good place.
refer by friends. Or Pinterest, oddly. Like, I look at design book covers, and then, you know, if it looks interesting, I'm like, what is this? And I go.
Yeah.
Which shows you the value of a well-designed
totally
book.
Yeah. Judge books by their cover.
But mostly referrals. You know, human-to-human word of mouth is always, you know, that's where you go.
Yeah. Are there any authors that are showcased on your shelves, like more line of sight, front and center, or there's just more of this person?
Should I go?
Yeah, go ahead if you have an answer.
P.L. Thomas, and he is another Garn author. I know I feel like I'm plugging, but I printed out so many proofs on that book. So we've got six of his books. I've got six of his books in a row. But it's a great book and, prominently featured.
I don't have any currently that I would say. So I would say back in the day, Haruki Murakami was
great.
His super favorite during college.
Mm. Mm-hmm. He's very good.
Had all those. Yes. All of his.
What is the best writing advice you've been given?
Write obsessively and read your writing out loud to yourself.
Good.
Yeah, write all the time. Don't stop writing. Time yourself. Give yourself 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. Even 10 minutes, and don't let the pen leave the paper, no matter what comes out. If it's, I don't know what I'm writing right now, look at me writing nothing. I'm writing about nothing, and let it go.
I was recently at Book Riot Live, and I can't remember the name of the poet, and I'll put it in the notes. But she said 3 minutes. She would have her students warm up for 3 minutes just to get things flowing, which I really liked. You can write for 3 minutes.
Can I also add read?
And
read.
And I also wanted to add I had a songwriting teacher that said, write one song every single day.
Yeah.
Finish the song, even if you think it's horrible.
Done is better than good.
Done is better than good. I like it.
Do you cross-train for your writing?
Cross-train?
Did you? Yeah, like, are there complimentary, like, go for a walk before you write or anything?
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
It's kind of related to routines. Okay.
I don't know. Bubble baths are always good for me.
Nice.
Bubble bath before I write.
No, actually, no. I wish I could answer that.
Yeah, maybe we should.
Bubble bath?
No. Maybe we should find something to cross train.
Revisiting bubble baths and showers and water conservation.
Yeah. What?
It all comes around.
Great segue. You're circling back.
Yeah. We did a good job there. Thanks, guys. What is the best book that you've disagreed with? Or is there one?
I don't know. I don't think I have an
answer to
that. It's a
strange question.
You know, these rapid-fire questions are really good.
But you want to think about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it would defeat the purpose. I wish I had them in advance. Really good answers.
No, rapid-fire. Like, first thing, if nothing's coming, nothing's coming. And is there a writer that has most influenced you as a writer?
Probably my sister. My older sister, Bernadette Esposito, is a writer, and she has been doing it her whole life. And she teaches writing. She teaches math, too, because she's amazing. And she's gone to lots of different writer residencies. And she's about 10 years older than me, so she's been my biggest influence.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Great. We are going to wrap up. Thank you so much for listening. And we're going to end with a song. This has been Ink and Worm. Am I your host?
Thank you.
Swan.
So much.
Thank you so much, Swan.
It's been an honor.
Thank you, listeners.
Thanks, Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And before Ellie sings, I'll leave you with a word. Take it or leave it. The word is uberus.
Uberus. Am I singing live?
Yeah, this
okay.
is you.
Can you hear the guitar?
Yeah.
Didn't eat, didn't sleep. Something's come over me. You were what's always on my mind. Can't deny, can't explain. Something don't feel the same. Just you filling up my time. And I feel so new with this. Like I've never been kissed. Like I am born again. Ready to begin again. And inside it's fragile. Crazy and innocent. We're at the starting line. Ready to begin again. Oh, 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 oh. We can open up. Oh, 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 oh. What the hell? Here it goes. Oh, 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 oh. Is this what it feels like? At the starting line. All my things lined up neat in a row. Is this how I prepare to move? I can't stop wondering if this will sink or float. Looking for the anchor and lifeboat in you. And it's fragile inside, oh innocent, to be at the starting line, ready to begin again. And I feel so new with this, like I've never been kissed, like I am born again, ready to begin again, begin with you. Starting line, the starting line, the starting line. Oh, 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 oh. We can't open up. Oh, 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 my God, yes, here it goes. Oh, 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 oh. This is what it feels like at the starting line. The starting line. That's called Starting Line. Thank you. Yay. All right. Are we off the air now? I can do another one if you want. Okay.
Go ahead and explain really fast.
Oh, the starting line? The starting line is in this book, too, and that song has a bunch of really cool remixes out there on the internet, so you can hear, like, a dance version of it, as well as an acoustic version, full band, all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty cool.
We'll fade out with that.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much. It's getting dark. It's getting colder. We're still far away from home. Don't wanna get lost out here. She said, I know this place like the back of my hand. Don't need to worry. And oh, don't try to understand. Just follow me. There's one thing I could never learn to do. Keep myself from following you. You make it easy. You always seem to know the way. There's one thing I can never learn to do. myself from following you. You make it easy. You always seem to know the way. So I say I will follow wherever you go. Just keep leading. I'll keep believing in you and me. We'll never be too far apart. I will follow wherever you go. Just keep leading. I'll keep believing.